Ed Glaze, and I also am one of the pastors here on staff today, and glad to be that. Really am. And thank you, choir, for that beautiful offering that you've presented to us. I'm grateful to be here before you on this very special Sunday in the life of the church. I've been doing this a little while. I was told last week by Dale Williams, 34 years, and as I said, I started when I was five, so I've done this long enough to know that a lot of times the Sunday after Easter, people aren't enthused. The pastor comes here and says, you know, we had that big crowd last week, and, you know, we don't have that going on this week. Well, I'm excited by the fact that we're all here together as one church, and that we're participating in this very special service of healing. That's become a tradition of our congregation. Because as you heard when Vern asked for prayer concerns, my gosh, we could have just taken an hour or two just to do that, to hear what's on your heart. And as we're going to have a chance here in a minute, we're going to let you have an opportunity to share with us. And I'll explain that in just a second. But you may not have lifted a hand or spoken out about something that you're worried about, concerned about, but I guarantee you, if we took time for everyone to share, there'd be a rich conversation between the people in this place. And those are online, too. Thank you for joining in, because everybody is bearing something. Everybody is dealing with something. How this is going to work after the sermon and you wake up, is that you've been given a card, and on that card, you're going to be asked to write down something that you want to share, some burden you're bearing, something that you're dealing with, some hurt or some heartache, some individual that you care about and love, that you write that down, and we're inviting you to do that. Nothing's mandatory. I mean, you could be writing your grocery list on it right now. This is something you're invited to do. And as you come forward, you'll present that to one of the pastors. There'll be four stations here, and I'm so excited that my wife, who is an ordained deacon in the United Methodist Church, will be one of us that's going to be up here. And you can present that to whoever's here, and we will say, how can we pray for you? Give the card. We'll say a quick prayer of, may God bring healing and wholeness. And then we'll anoint you for oil, either for yourself or for the individual that you that you're lifting up. And then if you want further time of prayer, we'll have individuals at each of these altar rails that you can maybe share in a deeper time of prayer with that person, someone who is skilled and trained in listening and in prayer. So I invite you to open your heart and mind what God is asking you to lift up this morning, for what healing that you need, what brokenness you need mended. As we talk today through this great healing story that's found in the good news according to Mark, the second chapter. Hear now the word of the Lord. When he, Jesus, returned to Capernaum after some days, it was reported that he was at home. So many gathered around that there was no longer room for them, not even in front of the door, and he's speaking the word to them. Then some people came, bringing to him a paralyzed man carried by four of them. And when they could not bring him to Jesus because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him. And after having dug through it, they let him down the mat on which the paralytic lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now some of the scribes were sitting there, questioning in their hearts, "Why does this fellow speak in such a way? It is blasphemy. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" At once Jesus perceived in the spirit what they were discussing, these questions among themselves, and said to them, "Why do you raise such questions in your heart? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or say, 'Stand up, take up your mat, and walk'? But so to show you that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I say to you, stand up, take your mat, and go to your home." And he stood up, and immediately took the mat and went out before all of them, so that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Who are you in this story? who are you in the story? It's a very detailed account of Jesus bringing healing to a paralytic. We believe that Mark had Peter as his source for this story and for the whole gospel. So we see that Mark is recording in a very detailed way what was going on. And one of the things that may surprise you is that it said Jesus was at home. Isn't that interesting? Jesus at home. We thought his home was Nazareth, right? Well, we believe that when Jesus went out on his ministry, he made Capernaum his headquarters, his home. And when we were in the Holy Land several years ago, when we're out there on the Sea of Galilee and we pray for peace in that place right now, we pray the fighting will end and that one day we'll all be able to go back there to see places like Capernaum and Jerusalem and other holy sites like that. But when we were there, we're out in the Sea of Galilee, and the guide pointed out to us that in a five-mile area around Capernaum, that's where Jesus did all of his ministry and all of his healing, all of his teachings. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? Just in that little five-mile area. And Capernaum was his home. There is a Byzantine church built in Capernaum that sits over a small, modest home that people believe, archaeologists believe, that was Peter's house. That was where Jesus lay his head at night. That's where Jesus called his home. And that is where Jesus was at the time when he was there preaching and teaching in a place that got so crowded that no one could get in. It was full. Everybody was there waiting to see what Jesus would do. And that's the first group that you may be a part of. You may be a part of the crowd. And if you're part of the crowd, what are you coming to hear Jesus, coming to hear from Jesus, see from Jesus? You know, if you're in the crowd back then, you heard Jesus did all sorts of miracles, didn't you? I mean, we read earlier in Mark's gospel, I mean, we're only in the second chapter, and he heals someone of being demon-possessed. Wow, that's pretty amazing. Maybe to Peter's chagrin, he healed his mother-in-law. He then, we read about this beautiful healing story where this leper comes up to Jesus and says, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. And you just love the response of the Savior. You can see the compassion in his eyes. I'm willing. Be clean. You may be coming here today to see if Jesus is going to do something amazing. What's that healing that Jesus is going to do? What miracle that Jesus may perform? That's maybe why you who are the crowd are here. You know, but the crowd also came because Jesus preached as one with authority. That's what it says early on. One as authority, not as the scribes and the Pharisees. Jesus wasn't quoting some teacher. He wasn't quoting what was the beginning of the Talmud back in that day. Jesus spoke from the very heart of God. And you may be coming today, you who are there in the back of the crowd with your ears cocked up, wondering what Jesus is going to say. You who are sitting on the back pews, I'm wondering, what amazing thing are you going to hear from the heart of God today? You may come to hear something amazing that the King of the universe, the one who created everything, wants to say something to you. That you who are created in the image of God, you who are one that was made like God, that God has something still yet in store for you, where you are right now, no matter how young you are or how old you are. An amazing thought coming straight from the heart of God for something for you to do, a purpose for your life, an ordinary person like you, choir members, and you sitting in the back of the church, you who are there at the back of the crowd, you. Jesus did. He called ordinary folks, ordinary ruffian, fishermen, traitor like Matthew, a terrorist like Simon. That's what the Romans thought a zealot was, a terrorist. Jesus had something for them to do, people like them, people like you. Maybe God has something in store for you as you listen today. An amazing thought, isn't it? Straight from the heart of God. Maybe you're standing on your tiptoes, the ears listening for news that seems to be too good to be true. News that you, sinner, are still beloved of God. You, who have blown it in so many ways, still are cared for by this one who came to proclaim good news. You, there in the back, that God cares for you and loves you, and his heart is poured out for you. Yeah. What a wonderful thought, is it not? As you stand there with the crowd, that you're not just in the crowd. You are beloved by God. Is that you? You're one of the crowd? Coming to hear something straight from the heart of the Lord. Maybe you're the paralytic. You know, you may be that paralytic. We don't know who he is. We heard he's a man. Brought in by some people, you know, crippled, injured. I'm reminded of when we were in Costa Rica several years ago working with the International Wheelchair Foundation, and we're in that country, and like a lot of countries throughout the world where they don't have wheelchairs available or ways to carry people who are injured or broken. They're carrying, toting people in on their arms. They had them on litters or pallets, just like in the story today. And here is this paralytic, not able to walk, seeking some healing from Jesus. And you may be that person who is wishing and hoping and praying that God's going to bring healing to you. You've received that diagnosis you didn't want to hear. You've been dealing with some long-term illness, and you say, Lord, I want to be healed. I want to be made whole. I want to be well again. And sometimes, somehow, God does bring healing in that way. We in our postmodern age, we with our rational minds, we don't understand those things. We question those things. We wonder if that's really true. But it does happen. We can't explain it, but it happens. Maybe you have come expecting or hoping that God will lay a hand on you and remove whatever infirmity you're dealing with. I've seen it happen a time or two. But more than likely, maybe you're hoping that something will happen through the wonders of medical science that we have in our culture, in our time. Maybe something unexpected will happen through what you experience in the medical field. I've seen this miracle happen. There was a couple, Vince and Maggie. She had just had a baby. Lots of complications happened. No one knew how to heal her. No one knew what to do. And so me and a fellow named Roy went in and prayed for Maggie there in that hospital room. And less than an hour later, this doctor walked in. He looked at the chart. He said, oh, I'm in the wrong room. And then he said, oh, wait a minute. I think I know what's going on with you. And they took her to surgery, and she was made whole. Coincidence that this doctor who wasn't supposed to be in that room walked in through the door? I'll let you decide. But somehow, some way, God was at work. Maybe you come this day, and God, work, heal, make me whole. Use the doctors, use the nurses, use the medicine. Oh God, miracles do happen. Bring one to me. Are you in that state? You may be paralyzed in a different way. You may be a paralytic that is dealing with some past trauma and you haven't been able to get over it. Oh yeah, you're walking around, but in your spirit, you're paralyzed and you can't move forward in life. You may be paralyzed right now because you're having to make a decision between two bad things, choosing between one option or another. For instance, maybe, you know what, we've been caring for mama for so long at the house, and we can't do it any longer. It's tearing up her family, but we don't want to put her in a nursing home. Oh, Lord, what is the best thing for us to do? You're paralyzed. You don't know how to move ahead. You're wondering what to do, how to move forward in life. You may be paralyzed in your relationship. You say, you know, our relationship with my spouse feels like we're stuck and we can't move forward. And we want to have that joy and abundance that we know we should have. God, help me to have that conversation. Let us be unparalyzed. Let us walk freely forward into a hopeful future together. Or you may be paralyzed by intense grief. You're laying on the pallet of your mourning and you can't move forward because you've lost someone so dear, so close to you. And you're there bedridden in grief. And hearing it's hard for you to hear the voice of the Lord calling you up out of your grief and a bright, hopeful future in the midst of your mourning. Maybe you're paralyzed in such a way. Maybe you're paralyzed in fear. Fear of the future, fear of the unknown, fear of what might happen. Fear can be as paralyzing as any broken limb. And yet, we know that perfect love, Jesus says, casts out all fear. How are you who are the paralytic, being called forward into new life, into a new future, into a new hope, to hear the words of the Savior speaking to you, take up your mat and go to the place of peace and hope and abundance that I long to give to you. Are you the paralytic? Paralyzed in some way in your life? Seeking healing, seeking hope. Maybe you're one of those sturdy souls that brought the paralytic to be healed. What a daring and audacious group these guys are. I mean, literally, we don't know how far they carried their friend, but they carried him. And when they get to the house, it's packed. What would you do? Well, I guess we can't get there. I try to elbow my way through there. Hey, we have to watch out. No, what did they do? And can you imagine Peter? These guys climb on the roof and they dig the roof off. I mean, can you imagine being in your house and hearing these guys with pickaxes and start swinging around, tearing up the roof, getting rid of the shingles, tearing up the rafter, cutting through the plywood? Talk about a habitat rebuild needing to happen, you know? I can imagine Peter, what in the world? Yeah. But these guys cared so much, were audacious enough and loving enough that they wanted to lay their friend at the feet of Jesus. You know, we carry those whom we love, don't we? Again, on that mission trip to Costa Rica, I still never forget this mama that was about that big, carrying her great big old teenage son who had cerebral palsy from birth, bringing that boy, carrying that boy over a mile to come and get the miracle in her life of a wheelchair. We bear those whom we love, don't we? We carry those whom we care about. I heard somewhere that the Native American word for friend, at least in one of the tribal languages, is that person who will bear my sorrows on his back. The person who will bear my sorrows on his back. That's the definition of friend in this Native American nation's language. Wow. What's Paul say in Galatians 5? Bear one another's burdens, thus fulfill the law of Christ. So there's some here today that are going to be bearing someone to Christ, laying a person on the pallet of their concern at the feet of Jesus. And those who are doing those things, what are you hoping for? What are you desiring? What are you praying for that person? For some healing? You're praying for some reconciliation. You're praying that they'll overcome some addiction. You're praying that they'll come back to God. Praying for a job. What are you doing? What are you praying for? What are you hoping for? You bring that person to the feet of Jesus, digging out anything that is a burden between them, a barrier between them, and the one that can bring them healing and hope. What are you hoping for? You burden bearers, you that care enough to shoulder the life of someone else. You know a woman named Sandy. I'm sure this woman's a lot like Kathy Isley, who you heard Vern say, dear Julie, who's so faithful at the Crossroads Service and then moved away, you know, went to be with the Lord earlier. I'm sure Kathy's feeling the same emotions as this woman, Sandy, who prayed and prayed and prayed that her son would recover from cancer, and he did not. He died, and she was so disappointed. She said, I can't trust in God anymore. How can God let something like that happen? And she gave up on church. She gave up on her Sunday school class, but her class did not give up on her. They continued to contact Sandy. They continued to write Sandy. They continued to call Sandy. They continued to take her to dinner. They continued to do things with her, continue to show love in their life, continue to bear her and carry her and support her. And over a year later, over lunch, when Sandy was there with some of her friends from her Sunday school class, she said, I miss y'all. I miss my class. Can I come back even though I'm still doubting in my faith? And they said, oh, that's such an answer to prayer. Of course, you can come back. We want you back. We long for you to come back. We're here for you. They carried Sandy, you see, for a whole year as she was struggling with her faith after the loss of the boy she loved so much. Oh, you burden bearers, you stretcher bearers, you who carry a friend, what are you hoping for another as you come forward today? May God hear your prayers for that person who you are bearing and caring and loving. Love enough to bring to the feet of Jesus. There's one more group. We don't often talk about this group, but I know there are people within the sound of my voice that are in this group. That's these scribes, these Pharisees, that question, who is this Jesus? Who are you that you should forgive sins, Jesus? You questioners, you that are doubting who Jesus is. You may not be a religious leader, but you have your doubts. You have your questions. You have your stumbling blocks about who this Christ is, who makes these audacious claims to be one who makes whole those who are broken, who brings healing to those who are wounded. Oh, you may have had that vibrant faith, that unwavering belief, that commitment that was never in doubt. But then life happens. You suffer some tragedy. You're bearing some burden. And that unwavering faith is rocked by doubt. That which you never doubted, you no longer trust in. Those beliefs that you held so closely have been shaken. And you question and you wonder, who is this Jesus? Oh, the doubts may have come by the actions of those who seem to be his followers. You know, if those people claim Jesus as Lord and they act that way, I want no part of that crowd, that group, that Jesus, that Savior. If that's the way his followers behave. Or you, through some tragedies, through loss, some suffering, you question, you wonder, Jesus, who are you to let me go through this? Or you may have been that burden bearer. You may have been that one who brought before the feet of Jesus someone you love so dearly to be healthy, to be whole, to be made well, to beat that addiction, to beat that demon. And you see and read about Jesus doing all these things. Well, it didn't happen for me. It didn't happen for my boy. It didn't happen for my daughter. It did not happen for my mama. It did not happen. And you question, you wonder, who are you, Jesus, to make these audacious claims? And that don't happen in my life. But you come anyway. You come anyway. With your doubts, disappointments, with your hurts and your fears and your unanswered prayers. And you come anyway to this place, knowing that somehow, some way, there's something greater than ourselves. And you know in your bones that that something is good. So you come with all your doubts, your hang-ups, your worries, your fears. Come to Jesus as best as you understand him, to be made whole. Who are you in this crowd that came before Jesus? Are you one of the crowd seeking to hear from the heart of God? Are you paralyzed, a paralytic, can't move forward in life? Are you one of those burden bearers, those caring souls, bringing someone else to Jesus' feet? Are you that cynical religious leader asking, who is Jesus? They were all there before Jesus. So are we. May you receive from him the blessings, the healing, the hope that he longs to give to you. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.